Greetings, my dearest podlings. This is Ethan Uslan, and I am back in business, bringing you a full-length episode of the Carolina Shout podcast. The song you just heard me play was a big hit from 1926 called In a Little Spanish Town. It was composed by Mabel Wayne with lyrics by Sam Lewis and Joe Young. When In a Little Spanish Town first came out, it was a sentimental waltz with a subtle Latin flavor. It continued to be popular through the 1930s and 40s, and during those years, it was played most often as an up-tempo swing tune in 4/4 time instead of the waltz time that it was originally written in. Then in the 1950s and beyond, it continued to be recorded by lots of big names like Dean Martin, Bing Crosby, Ray Charles, The Platters, Bill Haley and the Comets, and so on. It was a really big hit. Mabel Wayne really did well when she wrote that one. And then 1 year later, in 1927, she wrote another Spanish-tinged waltz called Ramona, and that one was an even bigger blockbuster. And I will play that one next. Okay, that wasn't Ramona, that was just segue music. I play segue music when I want to talk more, but I feel like it'd be nice to break up the talking and start fresh, cleanse the palate. I thought it would be nice, before I play Ramona, to talk about its composer, Mabel Wayne. She grew up in Brooklyn, and her name was originally Mabel Wimpfheimer. According to a 1951 article about her in Billboard magazine, she was singing, dancing, and playing piano in vaudeville by the age of 16. Prior to that, she went to the New York School of Music. I looked up the New York School of Music and could not find anything to confirm its existence. There was a New York College of Music, but no New York School of Music. Maybe it was a high school, because as I said, she was done with her education by the age of 16. Anyway, after being a vaudevillian for several years, she finally broke into the songwriting business in 1925 and had her first song published. It was called Don't Wake Me Up, Let Me Dream, which became modestly successful. And according to this Billboard magazine article, from which I am getting my information, Mabel Wayne used her new songwriting income to take a vacation to Southern California. There, she was exposed to mariachi music, from which she found inspiration. She got back from vacation and wrote In a Little Spanish Town, which, as I mentioned before, went gangbusters. And then she followed that up with Ramona, which was even more popular. And then Mabel Wayne wrote a third Latin-inspired waltz hit called It Happened in Monterey. And that was a big hit, too, although it didn't top the other two, which would have been hard to do anyway because the other two were huge. And after her third Latin hit, Mabel Wayne wrote a slew of other songs in that same Latin waltz genre, but they did not catch on nearly as well. So she went back to writing non-Latin songs and had another big hit called Little Man, You've Had a Busy Day. By the 1950s, she seemed to have retired from songwriting, and in 1972, she was inducted into the Songwriters Hall of Fame. So now you know a little bit about Mabel Wayne, one of the best in the biz, and a male-dominated biz, I might add. Okay. So now that you know a bit about Mabel Wayne, I think it's time for Ramona. Okay, obviously that wasn't Ramona either. That was another segue. I have a few more things I want to say first. Then I promise you I will play Ramona. When I'm ready. I'm almost ready. Really close. First, let me tell you how I got interested in Ramona. Like most people of my generation, I grew up totally Ramona-less. My friends did not listen to Ramona. My parents did not sing Ramona to me when I was a child. Ramona was just not a part of my life. But the music of George Gershwin was. I was very familiar with Rhapsody in Blue and lots of his hits from the Great American Songbook that many people from my generation do know. Not enough people, but many do. Anyway, when I was around 20, I got a hold of a CD of a studio cast recording of Gershwin's 1930 musical, Girl Crazy. Girl Crazy was an interesting one of Gershwin's musicals because it takes place in the West. And so some of the songs have a cowboy flavor to it. And one of those pseudo-cowboy songs was a tune called Cactus Time in Arizona. The lyrics to Cactus Time in Arizona mention Ramona, which made me think at the time, gee, I should get acquainted with this Ramona song. And so I did. And that's what made me decide to learn Ramona. And now I shall play Ramona. Actually, I'm sorry, I don't feel ready for Ramona quite yet. Why don't I play that Gershwin song that mentions Ramona that I was just talking about? Cactus Time in Arizona, my Ramona gateway song from Gershwin's musical Girl Crazy. New Mexico, I love you. California, I love you too. Wyoming, I love you. Oklahoma, I love you too. But of all the states in the West, dear for us, there's one that's the best. When it's cactus time in Arizona, I'll be waiting there. I will serenade you with Ramona beneath sunny skies of blue. What a thrill, my darling, when we own a little rancho built for two. When it's cactus time in Arizona, I'll be waiting there for you. That means stop. Whoa. So that was Cactus Time in Arizona, an obscure song by George and Ira Gershwin from Girl Crazy, their big hit musical comedy from 1930. A neat tune, I think. It was sung in the show by a young Ginger Rogers who sang it in front of a curtain during a set change. Ira Gershwin later dismissed the song as a throwaway during which Ginger Rogers did rope tricks or something. Man, when it comes to those Gershwin songs, I think even the throwaways were great. The non-throwaways from that show, by the way, included Embraceable You, But Not For Me, and I Got Rhythm. So yeah, I guess compared to those songs, it could be seen as second tier. But I like Cactus Time in Arizona. It's got a nice cowboy flavor to it. And I like how it mentions Ramona. And I like how it rhymes Ramona with Arizona and Ona, which is pretty clever. Not sure how many words rhyme with Ramona. I actually made a list and was going to print it out, but the printer from which I was to print Ramona ran out of Tona. Okay, now I am physically, emotionally, and spiritually ready to play Ramona. But first, let me tell you a few things. When I embarked upon my Ramona journey, I first bought a copy of the 1927 sheet music from eBay. And the sheet music has a photo of the Mexican actress Dolores del Rio on it. And the sheet music mentions that this is the theme song for the movie Ramona. And not having seen the movie, I just kind of assumed that it was some kind of fluffy romance that takes place in old Mexico. And so I concocted an elaborate arrangement of Ramona in which I incorporated various Latino melodies like La Paloma, Cielito Lindo, Leyenda, which is by Isaac Albéniz. It's that famous guitar thing. You'll recognize it. And of course, I put in La Cucaracha. And I call this arrangement my Ramona Rhapsody Español. Now, I've been playing this arrangement of Ramona at my concerts for several years. I still haven't seen the movie, but I finally read Ramona, the novel from 1882 by Helen Hunt Jackson. This is what the movie was based on, and please don't confuse it with Ramona Quimby. Those are children's books. And upon reading the grown-up Ramona novel, I discovered that my assumption about the Ramona story was way off. First of all, it technically doesn't take place in Mexico. It takes place in California in the mid-late 1800s when California was an American state. But the main thing that I got wrong was that Ramona was not a fluffy romance. It was intense. Let me give you a watered-down synopsis. Ramona, who is raised as part of the old Mexican California aristocracy, and Alessandro, a Native American, fall in love. They elope, and along with the rest of the Native American communities in California at that time, they experience grave injustices that make your blood boil. As part of the 1862 Homestead Act, Native American land was sold to white settlers, and the Native Americans were driven from their homes. They found themselves desperate and without means of making a living. Ramona and Alessandro have a baby, try their best to survive, but they are beset by tragedy. So that's my little synopsis. I didn't give away spoilers, but suffice it to say, it's a pretty serious book. So although Ramona, the song, is lovely and pleasant, the story is very political, dark, and outrage-inducing. I recommend you read the book. It has some great drama and romance and paints an interesting picture of 19th century California, and you learn some disturbing and shameful aspects of American history along the way. But if you want to just close your eyes and think of romantic images of Spanish missions, orange groves, almond trees, and pretty señoritas, please enjoy my rendition of the lovely song Ramona from 1927. So that was my Ramona Rhapsody Español, gracias. And of course, I saved La Cucaracha for the grand finale. I now realize that Ramona the song really doesn't fit the mood of the dark Ramona story, so sorry about that. But hey, I'm glad I'm spreading Ramona awareness. I think we should all know about it because Ramona mania really took hold of the country from the late 1800s through the 1930s. There's a suburb of San Diego called Ramona. It's named after Ramona. And there's also a Ramona Bowl amphitheater in Hemet, California. And they've been putting on a theatrical version of Ramona every year, ever since 1923. And of course, there's the big hit 1927 movie, Ramona, starring Dolores del Rio. And there were two other Ramona movies, one from 1910 and one from 1936. And in the Netherlands, the song Ramona is still very well known because a Dutch-Indonesian rock band called the Blue Diamonds had a smash hit with it in the 1960s. And today, when I play Ramona at concerts, at least three times elderly gentlemen have come up to me afterwards to tell me that they had old girlfriends whose favorite song was Ramona. I suppose it's possible that they all dated the same girl, but I doubt it. It was just a popular song. People liked Ramona. I also had an elderly gentleman come up to me after a concert, and he said that when he was a child, his mother had a favorite phonograph record of Ramona. And one day, when he was a kid, he was horsing around near the phonograph player, and he broke Ramona. He was sent to his room without any supper. True story. Be careful with Ramona, people. Respect Ramona. All right, that's all I have to say about Ramona today. I've enjoyed putting this episode together. I hope you liked it as well. If you recall, the episode started out with In a Little Spanish Town, which was Mabel Wayne's prequel to Ramona. So now I think it would be a fitting end to play It Happened in Monterey, which was Mabel Wayne's sequel to Ramona. Then at some point, I'll read the credits over that. Usually I read the credits over Heart and Soul, but we're going to switch it up today. Okay, here it is. It Happened in Monterey by Mabel Wayne, the composer of In a Little Spanish Town, Ramona, and more. Kate, don't roll the credits yet. Just do rope tricks or something. Carolina Shout is recorded in Charlotte, North Carolina at the Uselin Rancho. If you are thinking of visiting the Uselin Rancho, let me tell you that we finally hired an exterminator and the rancho has been a more pleasant place ever since. It used to be that whenever I'd go to the bathroom at night, I turned the light on to find cucarachas having a fiesta in our bathroom. Mucho cucarachas. Grandes, niños, it was a bad scene. But things are better now. Anyway, Kate Uselin is the audio engineer, and Ethan Uselin is me, the host and piano player. Thanks again for tuning in to the Carolina Shout. And you know what? Why don't you go to iTunes or wherever you listen to your podcasts and leave a rating and review. You can do that. Help other people learn about the Carolina Shout podcast. Why not? Okay, gracias. Bye-bye.